Amen. Good evening, church. Good evening. It sure is good to see you, and I wish somebody would have called me and told me it's yellow shirt night. I'd have got in on that. I tell you, you got to, it's like I told them back there a minute ago, you got to call somebody, let them know, this going on. But it is so good to see you tonight, and I'm sure people's been out working and doing, and it's kind of crunch time at our place at work and all, and getting ready for move in and all that good stuff. It's hard to believe. We're just about, they'll start trickling in soon, but about a week, 2 weeks out from move-in. So it's time. We're getting our recycling bins ready and all that kind of good stuff, getting furniture in place. And it's always busy in the summer, but unconditionally busy this time because we're anticipating potentially more students coming. So we'll see how that works out and all that good stuff there. But I do desire your prayers. I wanted to mention this morning or this evening first thing, and with Collegians, Brother Bradley Swift and I are planning on starting that, and it's coming up very, very fast. We're a lot of work behind the scenes. Sister Julie and Sister Carrie, different ones. Brandy, different ones, doing things and getting things together. There's a lot to go that goes along with that. But I desire your prayers. And honestly, it is, in looking at it, it is a ministry of the church. Definitely going to need some help. But it's a blessing. Got to talk to some of my students I work with and explain to them we'd be at the fair and orientations and some of those things doing that. And they go, so that's their language. And I'd love to see some of those folks come and be with us. You know, you just never know. But just really be in prayer for that. And there's some other local preachers and that are interested in talking to us. So just a lot to be in prayer about, and I do desire your prayers. And I'll say this too, please be in prayer tonight for Brother Mark Pennell. He's preaching his first message tonight over at Calvary, and he's anxious and nervous, and I can understand why. But let's be in prayer for him also. It's always good to see how the Lord's working and what he's doing, and I'm excited about what he's doing here. Feel like he's moving and working. If you will, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Try not to get into the prophecy side of things, maybe some of the heavier side of things, but maybe something, what you say, maybe a little bit lighter, but at the same time, just so important. So important. Always loved reading the books of Timothy, going through there and seeing what Paul had to say as an older preacher, older apostle, speaking to Timothy, giving him some good advice, and a lot of mentoring there. As Christians get older, they become mentors, or should, to younger Christians. And it's interesting to me, you kind of see yourself maybe how you see yourself, and it's like, I guess I kind of see myself, I don't say younger. Some say, well, you are younger. Some say, no, you're older. It depends on who you're talking to. I know that. But it's funny in talking to people, and they'll say, oh, I thought you was older than that, or I thought you was younger than that. You know, they see the gray, you know, and they kind of, I guess, get in their mind a certain thing, I guess. But then when you're talking to younger people and they start asking you for advice, you realize you've kind of transitioned maybe into a different phase of life. And you definitely don't want to lead anybody wrong. Never want to do that. But this is some advice, a little bit of this is some advice that I'd actually even shared with Brother Mark and other people. It's something that the Lord has really used in my life about how to get through different things, get through different phases in life, whether it be school, the phase of school, the phase of dating, getting married, finances, purchasing a home, married life, work life, church life. I mean, this encompasses a lot of things, so it's not just salvation that it's talking about here. It's not just a surrendering to preach that he's talking about here to Timothy, and I really want us to see that. But I'll go ahead and get into it tonight and not try to keep us too long. I'll read verse 12, and then we'll go back and get started. But verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us and this time. And even, Lord, this season, God, of learning and growing, just experiencing different things. It's always amazing to me how you use different things in life to teach us and to teach us, to guide us, to help us experience things, feel things, and then learn things, and then run those experiences through your word, God, so we can see what we're supposed to see from it and grow from it, how we're supposed to learn through all these experiences, God. And I just thank you so much for that. I pray for Brother Mark tonight as he stands to preach. God, I just pray you give him that unction and remove that fear, even that dread, God, that nervousness. It can be overwhelming at times, God, but I pray for him. Just let it be what you'd have it to be and be a special time. God, I pray for our church, Lord, each member, Lord, what they're facing, what they're going through. God, I just pray that your grace and your protection be with them. God, I pray for collegians, God, as this takes shape. God, I just pray that it be your will, that you would handle it, God. You would lead it and guide it the way you'd have it to go. Lord, we're going to commit it to you. We're going to trust you with it, God. Just like your word says, I pray you help us here tonight. Help each one, God, to receive from the message what they should receive, God, and help us to grow from it. And Lord, always, always be with our lost people, God. Lord, I pray for them that you'd convict their hearts. Lord, whatever needs to be said or what needs to take place, God, for them to see that, the importance of their soul, their state, God, their status, Lord, in life. God, I just pray that you help them and convict those hearts. Lord, go with us tonight. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's always interesting to me, too, when a verse or maybe a line of a verse comes to mind, and it's always important to go back and read a little bit behind that, before that, to see what got the context to this place. It'd be easy just to kind of read a verse and kind of go from there, but there's a lot of history that is actually explained by Paul to Timothy before we actually get to this verse. So I actually want to start with verse 3 and kind of look at 3 through 5, and then we'll break it down a few verses here. But I always, again, always love and enjoy reading in the books of Timothy to see what Paul has to say. The Lord used that a lot, these two books, when he was dealing with me about preaching. But I want you to know tonight, it's not only about surrendering to preach, it's not only about that, but it's about surrendering your life to God. It's important to see that. It's like I was talking to Brandy on the way here. I think sometimes when you read it, the Bible, some things are very masculine in nature, and some things are very specific to men. Being a preacher, that's very specific to men. We understand that based on the context of God's Word. But I want the ladies to know tonight, too, the power of God can absolutely and should absolutely be on your life. What you commit to Him, He is going to keep. Now, that's for all of us, and I really want us to see that tonight and not get things locked in such a way. And you'll see this right off the bat here. So Paul, he's going back and talking to Timothy a little bit about his family life. It says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Paul thinking back on his life, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And so I think Paul's recounting those people that were influential in his life, the people he could look back on, his forefathers that helped him and guided him. And I know that you look at it also and think, well, you know, he came up in a different way. He was anti-God or Christ or Christianity and the Judaism that he was in, but he had that foundation in learning and what he had. And he's recounting his past, and in doing that, he's thinking about also Timothy and the past that he had. One thing I've learned is everybody doesn't have the same family life. Everybody doesn't have the same past life. What can make us excited certain times of the year, and maybe Christmas, certain times of year makes some people get excited about. Other people, it might be a sad time. Some people grew up in different family life circumstances and situations, but if you had a Christian home, be thankful. Be thankful for that. That's nothing to be ashamed of or nothing to take for granted. Be very, very thankful for that foundation. And he goes on to verse 4. It says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I think he's thinking about the different times, making reference maybe to different things that Timothy went through. And I tell you, surrendering your life, living a life for God, is not an easy life. in a great portion of it. But it's the most blessed life you'll ever have. I think sometimes you'd like to think it's just going to be easy all the time or something. Once saved, then things just magically fall in line and get easy. But it rains on the just and unjust, and life is hard for almost everybody at some point in life, and maybe harder for some than others. But he's recounting some of these times with Timothy. But he goes into verse 5, and this is what kind of ties this in together. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." So he's looking at Timothy and he sees something in him. You got some real faith. It's not fake. You've got a desire there that's real, and you've got, it's not fake. Feigned, that means fake. And it's unfake. It's real that is in thee. And he goes on to say that is first, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. He kind of goes back through his family life, a little bit of his genealogy. If you had spiritual leaders in your family, be thankful for that. And if you are a spiritual leader in your family right now, don't misuse that. Don't abuse that. Don't take that for granted. It's important that our young ones coming, our children, especially as parents coming on, those in the church that are younger, those that we maybe help in the community, help at the university, those, they need to see that unfeigned faith in us. They need to see that. If they don't see it in us, they're not going to see it in the world. They're not going to get it anywhere else if they don't see it in true believers. And so Paul, he's giving credit here, and he's giving credit, what you see here is to the women in Timothy's life. So that's the importance of it, and I want us to see and know that. Everybody has an important role in the life of a Christian, in the Christian life. And as you come down to verse number 6, and you can kind of see this progress a little bit. It's a message in and of itself, but as you see how Timothy is written, it's a lot of charging. Paul is trying to charge Timothy up and get him to get past his fears, get past his insecurities, and remember that you've got to stay in the faith. And remember where that comes from, not only your family, but where it comes from. It says, "Wherefore I put in thee remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands." He's talking about his ordination. In stirring up the gift, I think it is so important that our gift gets stirred up in us every now and then, maybe more so than not. It's easy to be complacent. I think I've seen that over the years. You kind of get into a lull. Maybe something bad happens. Something stir you up. People get questioned about things. Is this real? Is this this? Is this this? I want you to know it's real. Hard things and bad things are going to happen, but we have to persevere past that and keep our faith in the Lord. Don't ever put faith in man. It'll break your heart. It'll break your heart. You got to look past that, and you got to look to see what the Lord is doing. And I think back to when the Lord dealt with me, and talking to Brother Mark, it really brought a lot of that back. All those insecurities, all those question marks. Lord, how am I going to do all this? I'm not strong like this person. I'm not as smart or as well versed in the Bible as this person. How in the world can I do these things? And it was hard to get past those things and finally get to the place and say, you know, Jason, it's not you. Brother Terry, it's not you. Church, it's not you. It's him. And see, that's the important thing you got to realize and remember through all this. And I know it's probably one of the most vulnerable states I've ever been in. And then when I see it in fellas this day and time, that hasn't changed, which that blesses my heart. God deals with people a lot, I think, the same way. And it gets to a point that where a man has to see that his only help, his only true hope is in the Lord. And that is where you got to put all your faith and all your confidence and know that it's in him. And so he's talking about getting this gift stirred up, this gift that is in God being stirred up. And you look at what the Lord is saying here, this anxiety that we deal with, this anxiousness, I want you to know it's not of the Lord for any one of us, any believer. Now there might be some anxiousness and nervousness in the heart of a lost person, and there should be. If you don't know if you're saved, then there should be anxiousness there. There should be some conviction there as you hear the word of God. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so that should stir up some conviction and concern in your heart. But what you see in verse number 7 is very powerful. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He does not anticipate, want us as the children of God to go around fearful about everything that's taking place. I see a lot of fearful people, and I'm not picking on them. That's a hard place to be, worrying about things. What's going to happen tomorrow? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this next step in life? And if I step out in faith, is God really going to catch me? Or am I trying to do something in and of myself that if I step out, I fall and make a fool of myself, make a fool of the church, make a fool of God? All kind of questions that arise in people's minds when the Lord starts dealing with them. And then they start thinking, if all you've ever had is somewhat leaning on the arm of flesh, then you know the arm of flesh will fail you, just like the song says. It'll fail you. You learn that by experience. It's a brand new thing as a young Christian to get into the idea of stepping out on God and knowing that God's going to catch you. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to catch you and then take you where you want to go. He catches you and then he ends up taking you where he wants you to go. Now, that's what feels uncomfortable. You're going down a path that you've never been down before. You don't fully see and know exactly the actual GPS of it. You don't actually have the map of it. You don't know exactly the path. And if you get sidetracked on that, that creates anxiousness. But it comes back to you really trusting that the Lord does love you and he wants the very best for you in your life. Do you believe that? As a child of God, I believe that. That doesn't mean hard and bad things aren't going to happen, but I believe God wants the very best for me and the very best for you. And it goes on to say, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Now, that's a good thing to have. It's a good thing to feel like you have some power underneath you, that you're not weak. Feeling weak if you're at work doing different things, whatever, or spiritually if you feel weak, that's not a good feeling to have. God wants you to be powerful, but it's in the power of his might, not in the arm of flesh, not in ourself. He's not giving us the spirit of fear, nervousness, anxiousness, but of power, of love. Love first. Remember, we were talking about that last week. I tell you, love is a very powerful thing when it's used right. It's amazing how that can lift spirits, how that can help people. If somebody knows that you love them, they'll listen to you, I believe, a whole lot more. If that question mark is there to say, well, I just don't know how much this person really cares about me, therefore I don't know how much I want to listen to them. I don't know how much confidence I have in them. But if there is somebody in your life that has shown you enough love that has convinced you that they love you, then when they speak to you, you probably will listen to them more than you'll listen to somebody else. It's the truth. I think sometimes as young people, we don't see it as much with our parents. We think they don't know things, stuff like that. But as you get older, realize, wow, they do love me. And you know, yeah, they were trying to help me. And then as you start having your kids, and then you see how your parents, how that evolution comes to be, you have a greater respect for your parents. Because they loved you, wanted to help you, take you to church, do these things in your mind you might not have wanted to do. It was for a purpose. And it's important that you see that of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So much recently, in the last few years, I think comes back to the mind. I think about it a lot. I think about how I don't want to lose mine. I'll just be honest with you. I think you'd be honest with yourself in saying, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want that to happen. And the Lord wants us to have a sound mind. I know as we get older, things happen. There's things we cannot control, can't control. But you know, one thing that I find very awesome, and I've heard this testimony so many times, when you hear somebody that's older, and they might have issues with the mind, but you start talking to them about the Lord, that their eyes light up. What's that, Brother Tim? There's something in there they don't forget. There's something that's beyond here. It's in here, the spirit, the being, you know. And that's very powerful. And the Lord wants us to have that power of mind also. And you see these things coming through. I want us to look at verses 8 through 10 here kind of together. And I want us to know that it is important that we not be ashamed of the gospel. I don't think anybody here would say that. I don't think anybody here would say, you know, I'm kind of ashamed of that. And I don't think anybody would admit that. But you know, we are becoming ashamed of the gospel if we try to change it in any form, in any matter. What I mean from that, if there's this idea that the generation to come cannot hear the gospel like the generation past, we're wrong. We're very wrong. The gospel doesn't change generationally. It doesn't change over time. God changes not. You think about the importance. You say, well, where do you mean? What do you mean by that? I mean, the same way that the gospel was preached to Paul is the same way it should be preached to me. The same way it should be preached to you. The same way it should be preached to our kids. The same way it should be preached to our college kids. That's the power of the gospel. When you get ashamed of something, that's when you start trying to change it around a little bit. You kind of start trying to mask things. You try to start changing things and switching things around. And the gospel is absolutely nothing that you can mask, water down, or change in any way. It's the power to become the sons of God. It says here, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He's saying stay exactly in the path, stay in the gospel, and don't be ashamed of it. You know, some people if you try to witness to them that's never heard the gospel before, and maybe in some far-fetched religion or something like that, they might laugh at you and say, what you're telling me is crazy. That's crazy. But guess what? It's the truth. And you have to stand on the truth. You can't navigate around it and try to water it down just to try to convince somebody. It is what it is. And proclaiming the truth is the most powerful thing that you can do. I have said this before, but I think it's a good place to say it. When interviewing somebody as an investigator, one of the things that they really taught us and told us, they said, if you can't get the truth, jot down the lie and then break down the lie. Because the truth will never change. If somebody's telling you the truth and they're being honest about it, not trying to mask it, it'll never change. It will never change. All you can do is affirmatively say what happened, and that's all you can do with the gospel. This is how it happened. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. I thought about it today. You know how offensive it would be to try to explain to somebody the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ? That's the power. That's where it's at. That sacrifice that he gave when his blood was shed to show that he is the infinite sacrifice for our sin, that's the power of salvation. That's never going to change. You can't water that down, and why would you want to? Well, I might offend somebody. Well, that's the power you want to have to become the sons or the daughters of God. That's the power of it. Don't want to water that down. I want you to know that, because one day you're going to have to stand on that, and that's the power you're going to have as a Christian. You don't want watered down Christians. You don't want that. You want it pure. You want it to be solid and to be sound. And he is saying that he's not ashamed. He's telling Timothy to not be ashamed. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. It's important to know that. He doesn't pick and choose people based on the abilities we think we have or anything like that. But it's according to his own purpose and his own grace. How many people got a humble friend? Oh, I love talking to him. We talk about the Bible a lot, and we'll get to talking about things, and he'll tear up, and he'll get humble. And I say, brother, and that's exactly why you need to be where you're at. It's one of those types of people that he's one that he tells an arrow straight. He's good about it. He's humble about it. And then he'll try to be soft and humble. But I'm telling you, there's more leader about you than you'd ever realize. And I'll tell you, I asked him the other day, I said, when are you going to surrender to preach? And he teared up and he said, if God ever calls me. And I tell you, it's just amazing to see God work in people. And they don't even see it and realize it sometimes. But I tell you, God can really work on people if they will just calm down and let him do that. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, what he wants to do in our lives. We just need to get out of the way and let him have his way with our life and what he wants to do, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It was kind of predetermined, pre-planned. God has a purpose for us. You look at verse number 10, who is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the power. The power is in the gospel. And how important it is. I love it when the gospel always shows up in a message. You need it every message. You need it every single message. And I tell you, I think you can pretty much find it. I don't care if it's in prophecy. I don't care if it's in a charge to a young preacher. If it's in John 3:16, you can find the gospel pretty much anywhere in the Bible. That's the theme. That's the most important thing. And he goes on to say, verse number 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He's explaining his calling, how the Lord had dealt with him and his appointment. It also makes me think about this too, just 1 Timothy 3:15. I wanted to flip back and read that. It's important to know that our God is absolutely a God of order. And in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, that's the key verses of that book. And this, it tells exactly why. It says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul in prison, he wanted to meet with Timothy shortly. He wanted to be with him face to face and talk to him. But if I tarry long, if he's not able to, if it takes him a while to get there, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. I want us to know that God is a God of order. He has an order for us. It's not all this chaos and all this kind of stuff that the world places on us. God is a God of order, and he wants us to slow down and seek out what his order is. Here's the thing. You know, when you're trying to witness to people and you're trying to lead people to God, what the world has kind of caused the church to do in this day and time is to make it out like this. Come as you are. Just come on in. Let's just rake everybody in. Anything kind of goes mentality. But that is absolutely not what the Bible teaches. What does it say? What does it say? Does it not say, narrow is the gate? See, it brings it on down a little bit. You see, you can't change that. Now, you welcome people in, you want people to come in, but you can't change that narrow is that gate. And here's the thing, you have that gate, but even more specifically than that, you've got Jesus Christ, and who is he? He's the door. That's the only way in. You have to lead people straight to that door, and as soon as you can. That's the importance and the pretense of it. It's not just this, all this stuff. You've got to get people to that door. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow door. And that's the important. And God is a God of order that brings those things into light, brings it down to that point. And in verse number 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. People mocking him. People placing him in jail. I mean, you think about it. The crowd he used to run with is the crowd that put him in jail. Who are you, Paul? What are you doing now? You're following this crazy group now? I mean, you was with us before. Now look at you. You're in prison over this. Now, how foolish is that? When you're going to come back to your senses and realize all this stuff about Jesus? That ain't right. When are you going to realize that? He's in prison. And not only to be a witness to his own people, but to the Gentiles. And we're way far away removed from what the Jewish people would be. I mean, you're going to witness to all these Gentile dogs? I mean, look at you, Paul. You're in prison. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? When are you going to come to your senses? You see, when persecution comes, or when you have a crowd that's doubting comes and they try to shame people, that'd be easy to say, oh, man, might need to rethink this. Paul's in prison. Paul was living part of his hardest life physically, but I would say spiritually is the best life he'd ever had. It's a better life than what he had when he was persecuting the church, wouldn't you agree? He had peace in his heart with the Lord. So it does show there's a lot of things that can happen outside in the world, but the peace is the inner peace. That's a peace that passes all understanding that we get from God himself. And he's saying, I'm not ashamed of this. Now, this is what I want to get down to. This is the important thing I want us to get to and see. All this background, to get to this point here, he says, for I know whom I have believed. Paul had gotten to a place in his life that he was outside of what the crowd, regardless of what they were going to do, regardless of what anybody else thought about him. Remember last week, where sometimes we get worried about what other people think? He said, I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. I'm not going to worry about those things, harbor those things, have those things inside me. He said, for I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. I know who I put my faith and my confidence in. And I think Paul was at a place that didn't rely on anybody else's thoughts or feelings. You know, you might run with crowds and have friends that think a little of this and think a little of that. And if you're not careful and you're running with the wrong crowd, you've heard this, but it's the truth. They'll pull you over to their side more so than you'll pull them back to yours. So you really need to think about that. I'm being honest with all sincerity. If you, as one or two, are faced with a group of people, if you're not careful, they will start swaying you in the wrong direction if you're not persuaded. That'll mess with you. That'll change you. Paul, he's saying, I'm in prison. I'm not ashamed. I know who I've put my faith in. I know who I've put my confidence in. And see, that's the powerful thing that leads into what I'm going to say next. For I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, you can say, what day? I believe maybe the day of death, maybe the day of his return, whatever day. But what I want you to know and understand, that which I have committed, if you are having trouble with things, if there's something in your life that is really, really bothering you, I want to ask you, have you fully committed that to God? And I'm not talking about you being committed. You see, that's the thing. I'm not talking about us being committed and us and trying to put it like we're going to do something. I'm asking, have you committed that to God? The very first thing, the very first place that starts is with your heart. Have you committed your heart to God? Have you accepted him? Outside of that, if you haven't done that yet, none of this other stuff will ever make any sense to you. It won't. It won't. You'll never understand how to do anything else like that until you give your heart to him first. If you don't trust him with your heart, you'll never trust him with anything else. But your heart, your soul, is the most valuable thing you have. You've got to give that to him first. And so your mind should probably go there first. It should. And so when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, the very first thing I went to was, Lord, am I lost? Are you telling me I'm lost? That I've missed it all these years, I've missed it. And he gave me full confirmation, no, that's not what I'm telling you. Then what is it? What is it? Now, Lord, are you calling me to preach? Is that what it is? And that's exactly where he kept it. He kept it there. Yes, that's what I'm calling. But I think he does things in such a way that you know what he's doing. So later on down the life, if you are tried, or down the road, if you are tried, you have confirmation from him. You'll need that. It's not always sunny and shiny outside. It's rainy and lightning. And like we're talking, Brother Terry, it gets bad weather sometimes. And if you're not careful, you'll get down and out about that. But I tell you, in this, and part of this in life was being able to understand, well, Lord, I remember why this verse is so important to me. I was out in the yard mowing. It was September 6, 2010, I believe it is. It was Labor Day. I was off and I was mowing. I was listening to a preacher preach. He went through this verse right here. And the only thing I could think is, God, I have to give this to you. And I don't even fully know how to do it, but I'm going to do that. The very best that I know how to do it. I'm going to give it to you. Because here's the thing, not one time in the Bible has God asked me that I've read to that I have to come out with a certain amount of results. God doesn't leave the results to you and me. He didn't leave it to Abraham. He didn't trust Abraham with it. He made a promise and he said, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep this covenant myself. He didn't leave it up to Abraham to miss it and mess it up. But what he is saying, what Paul is saying here, what he has learned, what he has committed, he has learned, whatever it is, he is persuaded that God is able, that what I have, that which I have committed unto him, he's able to keep. And I tell you, the Lord has really used that in my life. And I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about ministry work. I'm talking about business work. People have to work, do things. I'm telling you, you think, Lord, should I do this or should I not? If it's not a priority enough to you to commit it to him, then you might want to rethink that thing altogether, just to be honest with you. But if there's something so bearing in your life that you feel like the Lord is wanting you to do this and leading you to do this, I want to encourage you to say, Lord, I'm committing it to you. Take it and do whatever you will with it. Whatever you want to do with it, you do with it what you want. Whether it's ministry work, whether it's relationship, personal work, business, and I tell you, it will change your life. It's a life-changing thing. Instead of trying to make everything happen, worry about how things are going to happen, do all these things, if you commit it to him and say, Lord, do with it what you want to,
He'll take and do whatever he wants to with it. And he'll bless it. And I tell you, if he changes the path along the way, you're with him anyway. You're already committed to him. You've already given it to him. But I tell you, I don't know how else to really say it. I thought, how in the world can I explain all this and really do it? And it's one of those things, until you do it, you just have to do it. I just want to urge you to do it. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's just for me. I've fed on it all day. I mean, thinking about my students that I work with, they asked me, they said, how are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about leaving? How are you feeling about this? And I said, well, I feel good. I have peace about it. But you know, it's the first time I've not ever had like an 8-to-5. That's different. Like, Lord, what does this look like? I don't know, but I have to trust him. I believe every day the Lord will provide what he wants me to do and to accomplish. I mean, when you work for him, you got to take orders from him. And I've learned that can change on a daily basis. Let me tell you this, when I put my notice in and said the 15th was my last day, I didn't know on the 17th we'd be starting collegians. I didn't know that. And I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know that. But I already prayed today, church, and I said, Lord, I commit it to you. You keep it. You do with it what you want to do with it. Don't let me mess it up. Same thing about pastoring. Same thing about working in the church. I want it to be what he wants it to be. And I want us to do it together. I tell you, I get excited about things and seeing how the Lord moves and talk to some of my friends, see how the Lord moves there. And I pray the Lord moves through the whole church that very same way. We got something very special here. I'm going to finish with that. We got something very special here, and I tell you, when people call, I hadn't really talked to people I know, that's that church. You got a lot of young people in your church, don't you? You got a lot of this in your church, don't you? I'm like, you know, we're blessed, church. We are just so blessed, and we're blessed with mentors in our church that are equipped to be able to handle young people. That's a big job. I'm just thankful for what the Lord's doing and trusting him with all of it, but whatever it might be in your life, I know we think about salvation, we think about being called into the ministry, but this thing about committing things to the Lord, that means everything. Your home, your marriage, all these different things, your finances, you commit it to him and you follow him, he will take care of that. He'll be your new advisor. And that takes a lot of the load off. That's how you have a powerful mind, a sound mind, is when you give it to the Lord and you trust him with it. It'll change your life. I'll stop right there and I'll ask, does anybody have anything they'd like to add or say tonight?